Chapter 3. Loretta Snaps. No one noticed Loretta had gone white with anger. They were all quite used to ignoring her. After their return from Chicago, Victor had informed her that due to concerns for his personal safety, they couldn't carry on anymore. This had led to 6 weeks of wailing, bawling, and recriminations from Loretta, which now caused Victor to practically run from the room whenever he saw her. Everyone else got so tired of listening to her, they just tuned her out, and they really didn't notice her when she was quiet. Without Victor to keep her romantic thoughts occupied, she had started up on Quentin again, much to his great alarm. She even showed up in his bedroom one night in a pea-green negligee, announcing that,
"I think I should be a proper wife to you now."
Trying to spare her feelings, he had told her it was just too late for that, and pretended to be angry about the Victor affair. This didn't fool Loretta for a moment, and she decided she was just going to have to win him over. This led to horrifying instances of attempted romance, Loretta frequently leaning over the table and waving at him, or blowing him kisses, leaving him misspelled love notes on his pillow, and finding excuses to show up in his office wearing dreadful outfits and badly applied makeup. He felt rather sorry for her and tried ignoring her, reasoning she would lose interest. When this did not work and she began following him about bawling and stuttering all day long, he desperately tried bribing Henry, Kenny, or William into taking up with her, but even that plan had met with no success. Henry wouldn't do it because he didn't want to help Quentin out. Kenny thought he might be up to the task. One could buy a lot of pot with £50,000, until he thought of all the bawling and stuttering, and William told Quentin he would never consider doing anything so underhanded, which made Quentin feel quite badly indeed. His patience worn out, he had returned to shouting at her to leave him alone. This did nothing but make him appear very thoughtless to everyone but Solange, who was secretly glad Loretta wasn't meeting with any success. She crept to the sideboard, where slices of ham and turkey were scattered about, and picked up a long, slender 10-inch knife. Apparently, her sister, like everyone, thought she was invisible, calling her own husband darling right in front of her. Well, maybe there was one way to draw their attention. Having finished the stapling, the doctor told Quentin to sit up.
"What's my name, sir?" he began shouting again. "Will you please quit shouting? Your name is fucking O'Malley. I see you practically every damn day."
Dr. O'Malley sighed and realized Quentin was certainly in his usual mental state. He then began his second favorite activity, the first being shouting exclamatory phrases, the giving of directions.
"Now, someone must stay with the patient through the night. He must be awoken every 2 hours to check his mental status. If there's any change or unable to awaken him, I must be summoned immediately."
"I'll stay with him. I'll make sure he's fine,"
Solange quickly assured the doctor. Besides Loretta, who began shaking with fury, this appeared to greatly relieve the others. No one else wanted to stay awake all night, especially with the unpleasant task of waking up a head-injured Quentin every 2 hours.
"Jamie, help me walk your father upstairs."
Quentin staggered up to his feet and steadied himself on Jamie's broad shoulders, keeping his other arm around Solange for the sole purpose of feeling her next to him. No one noticed Loretta slipping the long knife down the waistband of her hoop skirt and scurrying out of the room.
"Jamie, help your father with his pajamas,"
Solange instructed him as they entered Quentin's bedroom.
"I don't need any help with dressing, thank you very much," shouted Quentin,
then wished he hadn't. Now his head was really throbbing. Jamie gave Solange a sympathetic look.
"Good luck," he whispered, and scurried out of the room.
"Fine then, I'll go change myself."
She returned from her floor in her bathrobe with a book. "I guess I'll read while I sit up all night," she thought.
"Parks!"
she could hear Quentin shouting as she approached the bedroom.
"Yes, sir."
Quentin was sitting up in bed with a terrible glare on his face. Anyone but Solange and Parks would have found him rather alarming.
"Tell that bloody doctor I want some Tylenol or something."
"Certainly, sir, right away."
He closed the door.
"He's such a sweet old man. I think he cares for you more than you know,"
said Solange reminiscently. She remembered Parks used to take messages back and forth for them.
"I think I aggravate him more than you know."
"How's your head? Can you remember everything?"
"Sure,"
Quentin mumbled and slid down in the bed, pulling a pillow on top of his head.
"Turn off the bloody lights, will you?"
"Oh, all right."
This is going to be a very long night, she thought to herself. She glanced at the clock.
"I have to wake you up in 2 hours,
she reminded him.
"I won't be asleep. My fucking head's killing me."
Parks knocked on the door, then entered with a flashlight and some Tylenol and water on a tray. He gave Solange the same sympathetic expression Jamie had.
"Now, don't be fussing at her, she has to wake you up,"
he instructed Quentin sternly.
Mind your own business. Go to bed.
Just as you say.
Parks did his haughty sniff and strode out.
Quentin, I'm really sorry.
Solange remembered that this was actually all due to Timothy's misbehavior.
I don't know what I'm going to do with him.
Quentin, who was feeling extremely displeased with Timothy at the moment due to the knife-like pain in his head, decided it best to say nothing.
Honestly, I should have made sure he didn't bring the cat.
Too late now,
Quentin muttered, but she heard him.
Oh, please don't be mad at me. Do you want a back rub?
Yes,
he replied sullenly. She slid under the covers beside him and began rubbing his back. Now I'm going to be the one frustrated, she thought. This is God's punishment to me for teasing him. As if he'd read her mind, he turned over and faced her. She had changed into a long-sleeved, pale blue cotton top and flannel pajama bottoms.
Why are you so fucking cute?
He said this as if it irritated him greatly.
Now I was trying to dress very appropriately. You can't say there's anything sexy about this.
Solange, you look sexy in anything, and you know it. Come over here and kiss me if you want to make up for your son.
Oh, that's my penance.
It is.
He pulled her next to him and they clung to each other fiercely, panting. Quentin began kissing her neck, which he knew always made her crazy.
Oh, we mustn't. It might make your head worse.
No, it'll make my head much better.
Parks was lounging outside the door, smiling to himself. He knew Quentin better than anyone in the world, and certainly better than Quentin knew himself. He had hoped to see him reunited with Solange before he died. He even had a fantasy of being able to attend their wedding. He remembered how happy Quentin had been during those days. Really, almost a different person. He had been such a serious little boy, and Parks had taken a liking to him at once. His father was much more interested in older sons, whom Parks found disagreeable and stupid, and he had always seemed to act older than a boy his age should. Parks loved getting him to go out and act like a kid. He remembered them flying kites together, and six-year-old Quentin leaping in the air and shouting with glee when his hit the sky, the way he beamed when Parks praised his first ride on a real stallion, the day they took a holiday from schoolwork and went to the amusement park, riding every ride twice.
You're my favorite person in the whole world,
he had burst out as they rode home, then immediately appeared embarrassed, as if a great boy of nine shouldn't say such a thing. Oh my dear Lord, it wasn't. It couldn't be. It took everything in him to stand up and put on his most impassive servant face. Loretta was hurrying down the hallway, hoop skirts bustling, the lopsided bun on her head askew.
Fox, out of the way, please, I'm here to jiggle my husband.
I'm sorry, madam, he's sleeping. I've strict orders not to disturb him.
Get out of my way, I'm his wife.
I've strict orders.
Parks flung himself in front of the door, and for a moment there was a brief struggle. Then, with horror, he saw her pulling something out of her hoop skirt, and the next thing he knew, she was plunging the blade into his side. He let out a shout, more to warn Quentin than because of the pain, and remembered nothing. The bedroom door flew open. There was a thud as Parks' body hit the floor. Loretta climbed over him, bloody knife in hand, her eyes wild.
I knew it,
she said in a deadly voice, sounding completely deranged.
And now you're both going to bay!
Parks!
Quentin leapt out of bed and staggered toward the man's fallen body, where a pool of blood had begun to seep around him.
Solange! Call an ambulance!
Solange dove for the phone and dialed the number, her hands shaking violently. She watched Loretta, and her heart began pounding from fear. She was circling around Parks and Quentin like a vulture with dead prey, the knife held up over her head and right over Quentin's back.
You're going to be next,
she informed him in her sepulchral voice as Solange shouted into the phone.
And then her.
Parks! Parks!
Quentin knelt by the old man's side and rolled him over. He seemed oblivious to Loretta and his grief.
Parks, please be okay. You've got to be okay.
Don't even care that I'm going to kill you,
shrieked Loretta. Even now she was being ignored, wielding a knife at his back. Quentin stared at Park's limp form. Suddenly, a whole lifetime of memories went through his head all at once. His most staunch ally, his most loyal friend.
No, I don't care, he told her dully.
Then maybe you'll care if I kill her!
And Loretta leapt towards the bed where Solange was curled, gripping the phone. This brought Quentin out of his reverie. He jumped to his feet, and all his old fire returned.
You will not touch her!
He said, and his voice was as quiet and dangerous as Loretta had ever heard it. Despite her derangement, she shuddered, then reminded herself that she, after all, was the one with the knife.
Give me the knife.
No!
I said give it to me. He stared her down. She looked wildly back and forth between him and Solange, trying to decide if she had enough time to jump at her and plunge it in her chest.
Give me that knife before I rip it out of your hands and cut your fucking throat, he said in a voice of deadly calm.
Her hands began shaking. She knew the sight of Parks had put him into a rather deranged state of his own.
Loretta, give it to him. He'll hurt you, said Solange quickly.
At that moment, she felt a bit afraid of Quentin herself.
I just wanted somebody to notice me,
she said, and burst into tears.
I know you did, honey.
Solange's voice was very comforting. Loretta began sobbing in earnest now. The knife hung limply at her side. Quentin leaned forward and snatched it up with one fluid movement and flung it out the window. The crashing of the glass seemed to startle Loretta even more. She turned and gazed at Parks in horror and began screaming, as if finally realizing what she had done.